You're joining us at the Palmer International Boat Show for a fantastic, brand new, fresh out box boat. And we are joined here by Tim Carberry, who's the central agent for this Supart 85 Schlei. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us aboard today.
Pleasure.
What a wonderful vessel. Special, actually. And I didn't know this brand before, so I'd love it if you can tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, she is. She's special. She's unique. It's a 85-foot aluminium, Dutch-built yacht that is the second of the yachts out of the shipyards, and she's completely different to anything else in their class. We're surrounded by a lot of boats here that are similar in size, length, gross tonnage, but you'll find very little on the market compared to her. So I think that's unique in itself.
And custom.
Yeah.
And that's rare for a boat this size, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's a smaller sister ship, which is the 75, and then this is the 85 Schlei. She's the first of the series. They could build another one identical, or it could be semi-customized oil. You could turn up to the yard and do a full custom or a variation of the 85. They're completely open to anything.
And there's some pretty amazing features on this boat. Ones that you literally wouldn't expect in the class. And I know we were speaking earlier on, the fashion for these sort of voluminous, smaller yachts, and they come with their benefits, but they don't always come with what we've got here. We look out in front there, forward, a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Plunge pool.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the other features we can find.
A little background into the, I think the owners, what they do helps. They've got a world-class spa and wellness hotel just outside of Amsterdam. So they are into design and innovation. So they've got experience in this sort of thing, and they people into the boat. So we've obviously got a jacuzzi on the foredeck. We've got a fully customized or custom built bathing platform which extends off the beach club, so that can either be lowered into the water 60 centimeters below, so you could have deck chairs on the back of the boat, 6 feet in the water, or as has been suggested, they can be raised to be well above the waterline, and you can maybe have a DJ booth on there, and you can have a party. So that's a great feature.
And stand our 80s person.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see here on the dock, obviously most boats have a pretty from-the-mill passerelle. We've got this full extending platform, which is, it's complete standout. It's eye-catching, and it's just...
And tell us a little bit more about the yard, like you said, though. This is the second vessel that they've released.
Yeah.
Tell us about them and who they are, because I don't know the brand. I'm sure it's Carlos.
Okay, so the shipyard's owned by a Dutch couple, and the yard itself is in Enkhuizen, which is about 25 miles northeast of Amsterdam. They've got great access to the water. The shipyard is there, and it was just all of a dream. The owner of the yard has a small plastic red ship, and he always dreamt of building a boat. Where could be decent and limited fit. So we built 75 Schlei, which was a great success, although it was more aimed towards what they wanted personally.
So they built the boat they wanted.
Exactly.
Couldn't be any better way to create the design.
They decided this is what we want. We're not necessarily thinking about resale. We're not thinking about the mass market. We want to build what we want, the yacht. And yeah, it was a great success. It's eye-catching. It's beautifully constructed. It's classic sort of Dutch craftsmanship.
Yeah, the detailing that I can see from sitting here, you've been
stitching.
Yeah.
The upholstery is really plush. And the carpets, everything's got that
absolutely
Dutch feel.
Yeah, sure. Curved carpentry everywhere. So you don't get that feeling you sometimes get on new boats where it's a bit boxy or IKEA-ish.
There's a lot of curve in here. There's no rough edges. It's smooth, curved, lots of texture.
Yeah.
Like a much, much bigger detail that you find on
exactly.
Something.
Yeah.
40 meters, 50 meters.
Correct. And nothing's been done on this boat because of these. Everything's been done because this is how they believe it should be done and this is how they want to do. And they don't care if it's harder. That's what they want. They have a level of expectation in their products, whether it's the yachts or whether it's the hotel. And luckily for me as a broker, the price doesn't necessarily reflect the quality of the boat, which is very reasonably priced.
I think is that why you're getting so much of a fashion now for these smaller, really high-end super yachts? Because you get so much more value.
Yeah.
For money as a buyer, you must walk a boat like this and if you've got 12 million in your pocket, you're not going to need to spend.
No, exactly. And we see some of the other yards in Yeovil, Muir, I think, starting to invest there and explore this sector of the market because it's wonderful if you have 60, 70, 80, 90 meter boat, but obviously that comes with high running costs, headache, crew, labor. Whereas this boat offers you essentially anything that a yacht of any size does, just on a smaller scale, and you've got three crew if you want three crew for this boat. But you've also got the luxury and the quality that any other yacht offers. So I think it's a great section of the market.
Yeah, and a growing one. I think it's really fascinating. So your brokerage career now, almost 8 years or 8 years plus, but you've got a huge background in sailing. Tell us a little bit about how you got into this industry and as a background.
It's a long story, but it's quite an interesting story. My father was a Kiwi and obviously a super keen sailor. And he got me into sailing age 4 on the family sailboat. So I spent my youth sailing around the Solent. And then as I grew up, got a bit older, went down towards the West Country. And then I got into offshore sailing and inshore sailing and then fast net racing.
That's a hell of a race, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I did my first one when I was 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a scary business.
Yeah, we were pretty fortunate. It wasn't a horrible race. It wasn't a 79 or anything horrible like that. But yeah, it's a great race. It's
15. That's impressive.
15, yeah. And then we had connections to the Whitbread. We had some friends who were on NZI Enterprise, and they became great family friends and then mentors to me. And they actually suggested to me that I should get into yachting. So I started doing deliveries, race boat deliveries, call quick, that sort of stuff. And then they started telling me about this crazy world down in the Mediterranean, which is the super yacht world, big sailboats and big opportunities.
And a huge difference in the vessels now from then and now, right?
Yeah.
Everything's so massive in comparison.
Yeah, absolutely. 85 feet used to be, is a maxi. That was a big sailboat. Now it's considered relatively small. So the scale's obviously gone up enormously. You've seen the shortest space of time that I've been out. And yeah, the diversity now is incredible.
And you didn't come straight into brokerage.
No.
You've done lots of other things, which I find fascinating. There always comes a point where in anyone's career where they found their kind of true calling, but it takes no supposed world to get there. Tell us a little bit about your trajectory.
Yeah, mine's a bit of an unusual way. I mean, I think most people go into yachting as crew and then work their way up through. And then as they get older, maybe they come ashore and go into yacht management or brokerage. But I actually got into yacht management before I got properly into the professional side of yachting. So I went for a corporate service provider in the Isle of Man,
right.
And they've got a boutique yacht management division that they were setting up, and they asked me to assist with that because they knew that I had knowledge in the industry, a bit of background. So I started in yacht management in the Isle of Man, and then I moved down to the south of France on boats, and I moved down to Palma on boats, and then I got into brokerage that way.
That's interesting. I was giving you a good edge as well, knowing really how the operations run abroad gives you so much more of a sense
of
what and who is going to be comfortable on a yacht, how it actually works when people buy a vessel run.
Yeah.
Selling the dream, but also selling the dream with a practical knowledge.
Yeah.
Operational knowledge. It must be quite amazing to apply.
It's great because, what I was doing in the yacht management world wasn't so much technical yacht management, it's more day-to-day yacht management and supporting owners more than the crew and the technical side. So I got a real feel of what owners want, what they like, what they don't like, what are the things that really make their ownership experience enjoyable, and what also make their ownership experience really unbearable in some cases. So I think it helps me in the brokerage world now, because I do start what people want. Have a day more.
As you're a sailor, first of all, and we're in Palma, obviously the home of the sailing yacht in the Mediterranean. Tell us about your favourite boats and what lights you up when it comes to sailing yachts. Because I think we all know there's kind of two crowds. There's the motor yacht people and the sailing yacht people. Yeah. We can know about both of them.
Yeah.
But if you really loved them, if you could choose your own boat, money, no object, what would you be buying?
It's a good question.
Wow.
What would I be buying? So that you ask me. Some days I think I would love a state-of-the-art Baltic or something like that. But then other days I see some beautiful classic sailboats down here.
Yeah.
And they're more limited in volume. They might have performance, but I just love I love the aesthetics, the beauty.
They're majestic, aren't they?
I just love them.
Same.
And I could just stand and look at them for hours on end. I could never get bored of it. So I think, if I was choosing a boat to sail around the world, I'd probably choose a classic.
Classic circumnavigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty amazing. What kind of size range do you look at?
I probably wouldn't go that big. I probably wouldn't go much bigger than about 35 meters, in truth.
It's quite big on a sailing yacht, though, still, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a good blend between size, comfort, volume, but you also still have that interaction with the water. You probably still have, or you should still have, the sail performance. Whereas if you go bigger up to the size range, you start getting into captive winches. And for me, that's not what I'm all about. I enjoy trimming a sail, for example. I enjoy trimming a sail on a winch, maybe with a button, but still around the drum.
Yeah.
And I like to ease it off the drum. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to go too much bigger. I understand completely why people do. But me, I think that 35-ish meters would be the perfect boat.
And are you still racing? You still get to go out on the water and participate? We've got so many amazing regattas here, obviously everywhere. A bit of a global industry. But are you sailing this summer? Are you?
Yeah, I've got a little classic sailboat myself. So I've got a 10-meter in Club Nautica here.
Lovely.
So for the first time last year, we entered the classic regatta in Club de Mar.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was great. It's fun. Years and years I've been racing in other people's boats, and particularly in the sort of the bigger boat regattas, feel as much of a guest as you do a crew member. So to go racing on my little boat with some friends was great. So we're planning to do that again this year.
Magic.
And probably the Superyacht Cup when it's here.
Yeah, that's a pretty fun regatta.
It's great.
Did you go to the Magnus Cup last year?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
we went, I'm trying to think which day it was. It was the crucial day where it looked like Ineos might come back into it.
Oh, it was nail-biting. It was incredible, actually, how much that has brought so many more people into appreciating racing yachts.
Yeah.
We all love the sport, of course we do, but amazing that it's brought so many more eyes.
Yeah, and the technology that we were seeing on television, I think, made it so much more of a spectator sport than it ever has been before. Plus, the speeds are incredible. I think my point is, it's quite hard to relate to it because it's not sailing how most of us know sail.
No, I think that's true.
So it's very much the extreme end of innovation with the foiling and the materials that were used, and obviously the cyclores, these are already called them.
Yeah, incredible. I think it's just the F1, isn't it?
It is the F1, but that's great because that's what drives innovation, and that will come down through the sports and into various different sizes of yachts. So everything benefits from that super high-end innovation.
I reckon as well, definitely inspiring another generation of sailors.
Absolutely.
Doing that on the water.
Yeah, yeah. We see it in anything. We see it in the darts. It just takes someone like Lee Littler to just catch the public's imagination. And I think the America's Cup last year was so well televised and presented that it did. And it got people into yachting, which I guess has been perceived as being quite elitist at times.
Yeah.
I mean, for the middle class or middle class and the wealthy, but actually it doesn't need to be. So
it's nice that we have that moment of inclusivity. Here we are at a yacht show and everything's excuse. Actually, the Palmer show, I think of all the shows, really does welcome in not just buyers, but people in the industry, but also people who appreciate and get excited about what we all get excited about, the window into this world.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, yachts are expensive. Going to watch or participate in a regatta, that transcends class in a way.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. I think racing a boat is the ultimate. And even in the UK, there are so many inland lakes and little sailing clubs. You don't have to be sailing with something super expensive or high tech to be enjoying it.
I've been told recently there's a Windermere boat show. Who knew? You probably did. I did not know. But even if you want to go and take boats out on Lake Windermere, there's a show.
Yeah. Sadly, I didn't know it was a Windermere show.
There is, but I'm not told today, and I hope that's true.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. It would make perfect sense. Yeah. It's a great piece of water.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in love with this boat. I think it's fantastic. What an amazing quality, and for the size of the yacht, features stand out. Tell us again what we get aboard this Superbath Exercise Flight, the standout features.
The standout feature in the boat. Immediately apparent as soon as you step off the dock onto the boat, which is the platform. The platform gives so much versatility, so much space on that main deck going aft and that beach club area. So that is visually, but also I think physically, one of the biggest features of the boat. Then obviously come from the beach club area, main deck, go down into the main saloon, which is straight into the master cabin. So that essentially gives the master cabin its own deck. So I think that's an incredible feature. And where it's low down in the boat, you don't have side decks either. So you've got full beam width of the saloon and the masts, and that's an incredible feature. And then obviously as you come up into the boat, you've got a really sociable galley up here on the bridge deck saloon. So that's a feature that I think will appeal to families.
Yeah, absolutely.
A real sociable boat, really friendly boat.
It's really open plan.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely something that feel the boat's there to be enjoyed. It doesn't feel formal. So I think that's a great feature of the boat. And then obviously as we go up onto the flybridge, that's great. And having brought the boat round from down to Palmer last week, you can feel even at 25 knots, the windscreen on the flybridge is perfect. You're sat there, the winds deflecting perfectly over you. So that's a great feature. And then obviously the jacuzzi on the foredeck is fabulous.
Pretty fabulous. I mean, actually, we didn't mention that this boat moves. You said 25 knots.
28 knots you'll do.
That's fast.
Yeah, 28 knots you'll do. And then she can cruise economically at 14 knots, which should be burning around 140 litres an hour. So it's a sensible boat. And then obviously, compared to the sister ship, we've got the crew cabin for three, which is another one feature. People may want to use it, people may not want to use it, but if you don't want to use it as a crew cabin, then it's a brilliant fifth cabin, children. So there's a lot of features on the boat. I probably missed a lot of them as well, but it keeps coming at you, this boat.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. So much your money, much bang.
Yeah.
And it really has that feeling of a much larger yacht, 40 meter perhaps.
Absolutely.
You've got that much space to play with. And the features that you said, the jacuzzi is just fabulous.
Yeah.
You don't expect that on a boat this size, 85 feet. So I think you're not going to be hanging on this boat very long. Central agent, let's just hope not for very long.
Let's hope not for very long. And then we can get the next one in build.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having us on board today.
Much.
And we'll see you, I'm sure. Keep in touch with us. Let us know how this one goes.
I will, promise.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.